Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Heard of stories of people in the Bible who had to make choices, and in making choices, those choices didn't make sense to the natural man, particularly the parents of Moses. You remember the Bible said they did not fear the edict of the king. They were not afraid of the king's edict, and for that they kept their son Moses from being killed. And I try to put myself in that shoe of those people, that if I were living in those times, would I have handed over my Moses to be killed at the danger of also being killed? Now, the destruction of the government is not against us, but you remember that the first people they banned from meeting was the church. If you notice, most of the attacks that are coming from Facebook is always the church. And they're setting the ground for that persecution. And so I'm asking that if we begin to, in quotes, turn our backs and say, okay, for this, for our safety, for our safety, when the real test comes, are we going to still be able to take a stand? If we cannot take a stand when we are really, our faith is not really being challenged now, are we going to take a stand when our faith is challenged? And that's a food for thought for us to consider. Because when we talk about the army of God, and we talk about the warfare of the kingdom, we are just beginning to see a type of how the warfare will be played out. I know some of us must have read the stories in the communist countries where believers have to meet at the risk of their lives. And maybe they are giving us a foretaste of how that is going to play out. So I want to encourage us that we be not afraid. We just have to find a way of meeting physically. Praise God. Hallelujah. Even if it has come down to two or three, we'll find a way around it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you understand. Praise God. So I haven't explained myself. I think I can go into the teaching today. Amen. Now, we've talked about the warfare of the kingdom, and I've tried to explain the spheres at which, the spheres where the opposition will be coming from. And I want us to look at, is it Luke 10? Okay, before we go to Luke, it's instructive to see let us look at the instructions of Jesus to his disciples when he was going. You remember he said in Mark 16, verse 17. Or rather, let's say from verse 16. He said, he that believeth, or rather from 15, I said unto them, go ye into the world. That was an instruction, or rather a command for an invasion. He had given the permission for us to go invade the world. That was a charge. Go into the world. And how will you invade? And by what means will you do your invasion? Preaching is the instrument of the invasion. We'll be fighting the enemy on the platform of preaching the gospel. And what does it say? And it says, he that believeth will be baptized, and he that believeth not shall be damned. In the process of it, going out to preach to the world, going out to invade the lands of men's hearts. Remember, the Bible says the sower went forth to sow. But this time, you are both a sower and a warrior. How we juxtapose that God help us to come into that balance in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As you remember in the days of Nehemiah, the Bible says when they were going to build, they had their sword in their left hand, strapped to their hands, and they were using their right hand to plaster the wall. Praise God. Is it plaster or set the blocks? They had sword and the what is that thing they used to do? Well, so they had the two together. Here we are having two together. We are having the sword on one hand and we have the gospel on the other hand. Two of them go pari passu. You don't do one without the other. You don't go to the world without the gospel. And you don't go into the world without being harmed for battle. Praise God. And it explained to us where we are going to get opposition from. I said, this is how you will know that you are sent. These signs will follow you. The first thing you are going to do is that in his name, what will you first do? We cast out devils. And we shall speak with new tongues. He said, we shall take up serpents. And if we drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Two things is clear to me, quickly. Number one, we are going to confront devils. Two, we must know how to heal the sick. We can't run away from those two mandates. Of course, the other thing is your personal protection. You must know how to drink deadly things and know how to step on serpents, and they will not hurt you. Praise God. But these are all levels of opposition that we are going to confront. And the earlier we understand this and appreciate it and embrace it and prepare for it, the better for us. Praise God. And so, look at the charge Jesus gave them in, is it Luke 10? Remember Luke 10? Luke 10. Verse 2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he should send laborers into his harvest. He says, go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Cry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no one by the way. And he gave them instructions. Now when they came back, this was what he said in verse 18. Okay, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils were subject to us through thy name. Remember that, I think it was in Matthew, when he sent them out. The Bible says he sent them out and gave them authority to do what? Against demons and diseases. Demons and diseases. Those are two major things we are going to meet. And so when they went out, basically the same narrative, when they went out, the Bible said they were filled with joy. And verse 18, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. So when we hear serpents and scorpions, we are talking about demonic entities that are not natural. You will come across them. Our response to them is not that of fear. Our response to them is that of reality and the fact that we have already been assured of Jesus' protection. He has given us the power over them and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise the Lord. And so this morning I want us to look again at, I want to step a little into the sphere of demonology and look at it a little bit. We cannot cover the whole spectrum of demonology. I remember that in the early 80s, into the 90s, we used to have specialists in deliverances and casting out of devils and all that. And somehow over the time, the whole thing just faded. And nobody's talking about it again. Nobody's entering into it. It's an absurd thing to see somebody tell you, my ministry is demonology. I cast out devils. Nobody's casting out devils again. And nobody's laying down on the seat to be healed again. And so we've opened the space for pseudo healers and charlatans to come in and do all kinds of things. You know, this has allowed prayer ministries to rise. I don't know where we got all those things from. you know. But somehow it came because it was like something was rolling into one another. And I spoke with Reverend Amosu. I'm hoping we'll be able to make it this year. I was hoping it would come earlier before this corona thing came. And I'm trusting that later in the year will come. He was an associate of late Dr. Ibeneme. They were known all over the country and probably outside the country for deliverance and all that. Dr. Ibeneme was such a wonderful person that in UTH, he was a medical doctor, was a gynecologist. And when Ibeneme appears, when he climbs up the staircase, people begin to shout down the hall that Ibeneme is around. So those who are not sure of themselves will run out of the just run out of the ward. Because he doesn't need to, once he just sees you, people just start manifesting. Just fall down and start manifesting. It was that serious. So they don't want to confront him. If you know, you're okay. And I had a personal experience myself when I was praying for a young man. I was laboring over the guy. The guy didn't fall. He was just looking at me. And the time just said, I don't have a demon, I'm okay. I didn't know that Dr. Benner was behind me. He said, who told you you are okay? He just, the boy just assaulted, and began to ask. I said, yeah. So there are levels and levels in this thing. Hallelujah. You know. But somehow after he died, everybody just went cold. You know. Their prosperity came up and all that. And that has really weakened our capacity to challenge the enemy. People come into the church, many of them are sorcerers, many of them are magicians, many of them, and they have become ministry gifts, and no one is discerning them. Nothing is challenging them. They are just, and they are wrecking havoc on the church of God. We will forget that Jesus Christ said that, Paul was warning them, said, "Many after my leaving, wolves will come in, and they will decimate the church of God." And it's not far-fetched. We are not walking in power. We are no longer demonstrating, we are no longer exercising, we are no longer believing God for it anymore. We have come to a place where we deny the existence of the devil. I don't want to speak about it again. There are people that say we don't glorify Satan, we don't glorify Satan. Who's glorifying Satan? Nobody's interested in glorifying Satan. Praise God. It will shock you that in the teachings of Jesus, he mentioned more about hellfire than he mentioned about heaven. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So I was in UK, I was talking to my friends. I said, I've noticed a lot of unrighteousness in this land. I said, these people don't know that there is a fire. And you see how my friends responded. It was so violent. Ha! They said, we don't talk about a fire. We tell them just about the love of God. There is nothing like Satan. I'm already, Satan has caught you. He has nailed you. He has finished you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What am I trying to say? That we are living in a world that is in denial. We're living in a time where people are oblivious of his existence, and nothing pays the enemy more than you not knowing he exists. And even when you know, you are afraid of confronting him. You're giving me a field day. And that is not the right response. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I don't know how to approach this demonology. Like I'm trying to say, I don't want to go very deep. I want to just give you a kind of an overview. Praise God. Do you understand? Just an overview. And of course, when you look at the hierarchies of demon spirits, within each hierarchy there are different strata. Just like when you have class 1A, class 1B, class 1C, class, you know, like that. Even they are all in one, they are all in class 1, but even without that class, are different personalities. Praise God. I don't know whether you're with me on this. So to now start looking at each of them one by one, I will leave that to you. I'll leave that to you, Holy Spirit, and you to sort yourself out. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But I can only share with you a few of my own personal experiences. And if you have, you can also share with me. Amen.
Amen.
So let us go. Who is this person we are dealing with? Let us look at Isaiah. Many of us know Isaiah. By way of just, that's 14, by way of just kind of, you know, going over all this thing. Okay. Now, there is this verse 4.
Praise God.
That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. One of the things you and I are going to realize quickly is that the systems and the peoples of this world have a corresponding entity in the unseen realm that controls them. Do you understand me? Bless you, sir. When the prophet was speaking, you would think he was speaking to the natural king of Israel or the natural king of Tyre. We're going to say that in Ezekiel. But he wasn't speaking to the natural, he was speaking to certain entities. I've come across certain scriptures and I wonder, was this addressed to a man or to a spirit? I find that there are many things that those prophets wrote that were actually responding to certain things that those princes and those demons have spoken in time past. And so he was not speaking to man. Here, he was not speaking to man. He said, take up a proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how are the oppressors seized? The golden city seized. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smooth the people in wrath with continual stroke. He that rule the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fair trees rejoice with thee. And the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirred up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the earth. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as us? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pulp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vows, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which doeth weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Somebody said that there are seven I wills. There are wills of Lucifer. Praise the Lord. This was an account of what happened before man was made, before man came to the picture at all. We know that Lucifer has a designation of being the son of the morning. He was not the morning star. He was not the bright and the morning star. He was son of the morning. He was son of the morning. Amen. He was produced by the morning. He is not the morning star. Remember, Jesus Christ said, he that overcometh, I will give him a star. It's not just that Jesus will give you a star, he's going to make you a star. It's not a star like Michael Jackson, no. Stars are in the realms of the angelic. When you see stars, remember in the days of Joshua, the battle, the stars fought in their constellation. You know, the days of Joshua or Deborah, the stars fought in their constellations. Those were angelic beings. They are stars. And so when you see all those stars in the heavens, they are representative of an entity. Praise God. So when you say, I will give you a star, it's like a star is going to make you a star. So Lucifer was a type of star. And his designation was son of the morning. Hallelujah. And so you mainly know that it has something to do with light. It was associated with light. And when you talk about light, we're talking about he had access to knowledge. He was a knowledge-based being. Praise God. And because of that, you will understand why the Bible says, does not speak to him, does not address him in the New Testament as having power. It says that it talks about the wiles of the devil. So we are fighting the realms of knowledge. Praise the Lord. And he who knows wins. He who understands what he's doing has a chance of winning. I will get there by God's grace. Praise God. So he said, thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. What made him fall? Let us pause. Let me pause. Let me go. Let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, what? 28. Let's pick it from verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros. Now the king of Babylon and the king of Tyros are the same persons. Praise God. And we see it here. Why he called him one king of Babylon is the same entity that was ruling over them. I will say that. Praise God. Take up a lamentation. That one said, take up a proverb. Say, take a lamentation. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You sealed it, you are the perfection of the angelic host. You are the ultimate of them all. Now that does not mean that he was the most powerful. Praise God. See, it was not the most powerful. He would not have been defeated. If he was the most powerful, he would not have been defeated. And she comes up for that. Yeah. But because there are angels that Satan has not met before. That's how many they were. He never met them. It's not all the angels God knew that Satan knows. Even as I speak today, there are certain angels that Satan has not met. He doesn't know their name. At least I know one angel. The Bible says he stepped out of heaven and went to carry him and held him by the neck and dragged him and threw him inside the bottomless pit and locked it. What is the name of that angel? He has not met him. He doesn't know him. He's not like, I'm very sure, he's not like Michael. Michael, in fact, Michael, I've not been able to. Michael can't do that. Michael is a warrior, but he can't go balloon, go call the person, drag it. My friend, come here. I don't know what kind of angel that is. Abi, what is the name of the angel that put his leg on the land, one on the sea, raised his hand to heaven, and spoke, and seven thunders responded? Please, what is it? Is it an archer or is it a quest? We don't know. An angel is an angel. Praise God. Amen. This guy here, we are seeing his beginning. In Isaiah, we see what led to his fall. Pride, this was the first sin. The second one was ambition. Let us look at what led to his pride. He said, you sealed up the sum. You are the ultimate. Let me look at another translation. Easy English. Son of man, thou must take up a sad song about the king of Tyre. Speak unto him, say, this is what the Lord, the king, says. I did not see anything bad in you. You were completely beautiful. You were wise in every way. That's how the new Easy English puts it. Say, tell him, this is what the Lord God says. You served as my model, my example of complete wisdom and perfect beauty. That's interesting. I don't think I have any other better. I turn to my KJV, my best translation. Praise God. Say, thou had been in hidden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. When you speak of stones, again, stones are not, again, they are entities. Praise God. They are entities. When you talk about covering, you are talking about something that protects, something that keeps, something that he had as a. See, the Bible speaks about a king. It says a king is great by reason of the people. If you are a king and there are only 20 people that you are king over, there is no glory. The glory of a king is in the number of people that is over. Praise God. So when you have a king and you have a population like China and you are the king, you don't compare yourself. You and the Oba of Akure don't sit on the same seat. See, you understand? Because there's a covering. The one that is the king of China that has worked for so many billion people as his covering. So this guy had a cover. And this guy had a calling at the ministry. And he had people that he was superintending over. He says, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the bell, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Say, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. He was anointed. So he can understand anointing.
Praise God.
He understands it perfectly well because he was once an anointed cherub. Yeah, and you don't give anointing for anointing's sake. He was given anointing as a covering. And it says, and I, God, said, I said this so. So we're talking about a created being. That was upon the holy mountain of God. That walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. These are also another set of creation. They were not just stones. No, stones inside fire. These were, somebody called them the seraphims, the burning ones. When Lucifer was created and when he was operated, he was given charge over certain parts of God's creation. Hallelujah. I was reading a book, and the book said that Lucifer was a preacher. Praise God. His primary assignment was to teach the angelic host the revelations of God. That was why he was a covering. He was a covering cherub. He was anointed to cover them and to feed them with the knowledge of God. Praise God. That was what he was doing. And so you can understand why he was in their midst. He was superintending over them. He says, thou wert perfect, verse 15, in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. What was iniquity? It was pride. He began to look inwards, and he began to see himself. Paul warned that you don't bring a novice to authority. There's no way you can handle, there's no way, you see, we cannot fail to understand or to appreciate the wisdom of God. He said, lest he falls into the same condemnation of Lucifer. Why did Lucifer fall? Lucifer began to think highly of himself than he ought to think. He forgot he was created. He forgot he was anointed. What he had was given to him. Say, I made you so. This was my desire. I just chose to make you like that. You didn't make yourself. But someone began to look at himself. When you go to chapter 14 of Isaiah, the Bible says, I said, I will exalt my throne. That means he had a throne. Praise God. He had the people he was superintending over. He had influence. Amen. Because if he didn't have influence, he would not have taken one third of the angelic host. He had influence. And this guy felt he had it all. Said iniquity was found in thee. Said by the multitude of your merchandise. What is merchandise? The man was trading. Was trafficking. Was the first merchant in heaven. Everything in heaven was given free. So when the Bible says freely you have received, freely you give. The guy was one who introduced business. And business only thrives when there is a lack and there is a supply. Do you understand me? That's how business is done. That is the primary foundation of Babylon. Create scarcity here, create plenty here, and you must come and buy if you want to survive. And that's not the way heaven works. I don't know whether you understand me. It was a trafficker. So the merchandise, your merchandise, you created the problem in the place you were. And said, we saw it. They filled thee, the midst of thee, with violence. And of course, when you don't have, and there's no possibility of you, you will go to war. So introduce war. Because if there is lack, there will. They all go together. Why do the nations go to war? Just because of what they want to eat. They want to wear. And what is the third thing they look for? Jesus said, these are the things that the Gentiles world look for. Why do they look for it? Because it's of scarcity. Why are we in the mess we are in today? I still believe coronavirus was created. I was telling Star Message this morning. I was listening to a particular documentary. As far as last year, coronavirus had ravaged them in China, and they did not say anything. They were claiming it was a bat. And when they took the strain of the coronavirus, they found that it was similar to a virus, coronavirus inside some bats. It is true. But this one that is killing, that's why it's called novel corona. They've not seen the type 4. Somebody engineered it. They mixed two, I don't know whether you know, I don't understand it. They mixed two different virus strains together and produced this one, and it became a killer. And they said there was no bat in one. They checked the whole one. There was no bat there. It's like saying the bat we found, there's bat in Akure, whereas the closest place where you can find bat is somewhere in Port Harcourt. So how did the bat migrate from Port Harcourt here and start killing people in one? I don't know whether you understand me. They have about level 4, about safety something facility there, where they carried all this kind of crazy experiment. There was a particular professor from America, Harvard, that was in Wuhan, that was working there. The American government have arrested him. They engineered this thing. My own suspicion is that the gates get on the inside. If they look where, you know, there. Why? They need to create something that will, they will have reason to vaccinate. As do vaccination. He's very crazy about vaccination, but that's not the incest. We'll talk about that. Those are, that's on that story for another day. He says, thou art sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy the whole covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. 17, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou art corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lead thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou art defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all men that behold thee. All that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. That shall be a terror, and never shall that be anymore. Remember when they were speaking about him in Isaiah? They said when he came down to hell, hell was removed at his coming. And they said, have you also become like us, that can be afflicted? You that troubled the nations. You decimated the nations. That has been Satan's primary assignment, I guess. He is destroying the nations. Praise God. He's not building them up, he's destroying them. And we'll see how he does that. Amen. So, let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 14. Look at verse 13. You know, in verse 12, they said, you are cut down to the ground. That was what God said in Ezekiel, that they will cut you down to the ground. You will just become like a mere man. In 14, he said, that said in the heart. This was where he also began to sin. I will ascend into heaven. That means he was not in heaven. Even though he was the son of the morning, he was not in heaven. Now, he was once in heaven. There were two conflicts that took place. I don't know whether I have the time to go through this. The first conflict was that Ezekiel, when they were going to cast him out. And that conflict was fought from, if you see Revelation chapter 12, when the Bible says, and there was war in heaven. The war was to push him out, you know, out of where he was. They fought the first war. Brothers took up arms against brothers. Friends took up arms against one another. All those angels were friends. All those angels used to relate with one another as brothers. But when a decision was made, who is on the Lord's side? You now should understand what was going on when Moses stood that day and said, who is on the Lord's side? A transaction like that had taken place among the angels. When a decision was asked to be made, who is on the Lord's side? Michael and his angels stood on the Lord's side, and Satan and his angels stood on the other side, and war broke out. And the Bible said, Michael and his angels fought, and Satan fought. Can we look at it? Let's look at that description of Revelation. Revelation 12, right? I hope I'm correct. I should be. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Please, let me say this. In book of Genesis, when we were introduced to Satan, what did he appear like? What has happened? When we met him in in Revelation. What did he become? He has become a dragon. How did he grow? They said he will feed upon the dust. And God said to Adam, from dust you were taken, and to dust thou shalt return. What has been the food of Satan since then? He has been eating dust. He has been feeding on human beings. And that had made him into a dragon. And so when they fought, the Bible says that the dragon also fought and his angels. But they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more where? In heaven. But in Isaiah 14, he now said, I will ascend into heaven. That means when he was pushed out, he needed to ascend again. That book said that there were two conflicts. If it was the first conflict, the second conflict affected the whole solar system. That was why in Genesis chapter 1, he created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 say, it was without form and void. Something happened. That was the second angelic conflict that destroyed every living thing in the whole solar system. Every living thing was destroyed. Everything was destroyed. Because the second battle in him ascending into heaven, going to, he said he will set his throne above the stars. He will sit above the congregation. There were congregation, there were people. There were, not humans, but there were living creatures, and all of them were there. He said, I will sit above, I will be like the Most High. And the Most High will be on the same platform. Ah, that was serious ambition. And then he said, over their dead body, without. And that led to another battle. And he was cast out down to the earth. But we have not seen him on the earth physically. So where was he cast into? I don't know if you understand me. They cast him out of heaven to the earth. And yet we have not seen him in the earth. We can only ask, where then is he hanging? It's called the heavenlies. The Bible uses that terminology, the heavenlies. Okay, I think he called it the second heaven. Praise God. Is not the same as heavenly places. Are you with me? There are heavenly places. There is the heavenlies. In the heavenlies, Lucifer rules. Is the realm of the where he occupies. All he and all his angelic hosts, they occupy that. God rules in heaven and in the heavenly places. It is the heavenly places that Jesus Christ said that I go to my Father to prepare you a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. Those mansions are heavenly places. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Don't let us go into that one this morning, shall we? But let's just have that. Amen. And so we have a person that we are confronting. And so when we come to Ephesians, can we now go on to Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 12 or 11, I beg your pardon. Okay, sorry. Let's take from verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Praise the Lord. Can I stop there? This armor that we've been asked to put on, whose armor is it? That means God himself is a warrior. What made him the Lord of hosts? What he uses when he goes to war is this armor he wears. So he's not asking us to use something he has not used or he has not tried. I don't know whether you understand me. So when you hear the word Lord of hosts, he himself is a warrior. It is an armor he wears. So he said, this armor that God used to wear, you to go and wear it. Praise God. Because it takes only God to defeat this person. You can't use any other technology to defeat him. If you marshal any technology to come against him, it will make you into suya. So how did God defeat him? You remember the Bible said that these angels went to war. These angels went with the armor of God to war. And there was something that the Bible said of them. But they loved not their lives unto death. There is that possibility of dying. You can't go to war and assume there will be no casualties. There will always be casualties. But that's what it takes to go to war. That's what it takes to fight the good fight of faith. There may be a chance that you may survive. Praise God. And there may be a chance that you may... The first bullet may take you out, but you have contributed your own quota. Hallelujah. Yesterday we were watching the documentary. Was it yesterday now? The Vietnamese War. When children of 21-year-old, 20, was carried to Vietnam to go and fight. The general was greeting them, was encouraging them, but they said they knew that it was a losing battle. They were not going to win that war. America lost over 58,000 young men. Just wasted there. And over 200,000 wounded, either physically or mentally, or psychologically. Many of them became mad on return. That generation was decimated. But they did not... But a time now came in American history when they were now going to draft more people, and people rebelled and said they are not going to war. They don't want to die. That's how America pulled out of Vietnam, because nobody was prepared to lay down his life. I don't know whether you understand me. Once you wear that uniform, and they carry you off, nobody knows whether you'll come back or you won't come back. God be with you. Amen. But if you are going to, one thing I saw about the Vietnamese, that they were not prepared, they were not afraid of dying. America has superior weapons, they have superior training, they have superior everything, they have superior name, they were superpower. Vietnamese did not fear them. They were killing them in their hundreds of thousands, but they were still coming. And over a time, they overwhelmed the Americans and pushed them out of Vietnam. So it's not about numbers. I was telling that I watched a documentary during the World War, how a vastly inferior army, inferior air force of the Japanese, of the Chinese, captained by a British colonel or British Air Force major, I don't know, they entered one racket. They just got some rackety place and went to fight the Japanese during the World War. Second World War. The Japanese planes were superior in speed, superior in armament, superior in experience. They were superior in all the any indices. But one thing was going for those Chinese guys, they weren't afraid to die. And over time, you will not believe it, they defeated the Japanese Air Force. That they could write a story about their bravery. So it has always been like that over during our history, that men who are afraid of death don't make good soldiers. It is those who are fearless. Did you watch the 300? Look at the way, when they saw the Amanda, when I saw them in film, for me I was afraid. With all these ships, everything, I want to finish. I got my lolly. But not so those, they were even laughing. That is the attitude of a warrior. They love not their lives unto death. So the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God. If you are going to stand a chance of facing this person. Now, he now said to us, for we wrestle not. I want to please pay attention before I start talking about these Araki and Kedas of these beings. Praise God. I should be through in the next 15 minutes, at least for this time. If I can only finish on wrestle. Why did Paul use the word wrestle? I don't understand. Why did he have to use the word wrestle not? I don't know the Greek word. I can look for it, but that's not my emphasis. The wrestle gives the impression of people who are in hand-to-hand combat. Emo, gidigbo, gidigbo. Your intention is to roll the person down. You struggle, you struggle, you struggle, and until you roll the guy, you pin him down. Then you have won. Praise God. That tells you that it is not one punch thing. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. How many of you have fought before, real life fight, that we are fighting more than one person? Two persons were fighting you at the same time, except you're in Kung Fu film. Only in Kung Fu you can fight three or four people at the same time. But in real life, who do you want to face? But this person will be punching you. Taekwondo, it's not a fair fight. It's not going to be fair. What I'm trying to say is not going to be what? Fear. Satan will deploy all his boys against you to fight you. So if you don't know how to fight Kung Fu and fight multiple targets at the same time, praise God. It's like you're still fighting, say, somebody's tricking you, go on here. She must wonder how to use leg to kick him. He must have eyes behind your head, you know. I see what's going on. That's what we suffer. We wrestle not. That means there's a wrestling. It's not something that is a one and a for all thing. No. It's a continuous thing you fight. You keep fighting. Hallelujah. So it's why did you have to say this, Paul? Why do they say we stand and we shoot? It's not a shooting thing, it's a wrestling thing. It's a battle. It's like someone used under war, say like you are under siege. Then they put you under siege and you are contending and you are fighting, you are pushing back, they are pushing, you are pushing back, you are pushing back. Until one side blinks and surrenders. Somebody must surrender. Remember when he confronted Jesus, the Bible says he left him for while, came back. He's always coming back. It's a continuous conflict. There's no promise of rest. That's just a sad thing. There's no promise. That's why I say, when you die, that's the time you rest. The reason why it's Iliogun are these characters. They will fight you. And the truth is that you may even be fight. They may be fighting you and you don't know they are fighting you. You will not know you are in battle. You will not even know. You just say it's normal. Okay, I'm a pastor. I say, they are initiating conflict. And you don't know it's a conflict. What we see is the Olakadama. You say it's not flesh and blood. But what? Who are we fighting? He says we are against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. Where? In high places. Not in heaven. But where? In high places. They are not in the heaven. They are in high places. Praise God. I want to look at this. Okay. In high places. In verse 11, I jumped there. It says, when you put on that armor, you'll be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. When Jesus came and Satan met him, Satan said to him, say, bow down. Oh, should we look at it? Can we look at it? So let's see, it appears as if I'm the one. Matthew 4, I believe. Let me look at 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou will fall down and worship. Praise God. When Jesus Christ said, these are the things the Gentiles are after. Is this not what many of our brethren pray and preach and talk about Ogo. This is the Ogo formula. This is what you want. This is why you came. You want Ogo. You want the glory of these kingdoms. You want to be recognized. You want to rule over them. Look, we don't need to go to battle. If only you will just do what?
Worship.
Bow. Take a bow, like in the Senate, and walk away. I promise I'll give you the ministerial appointment. Praise God. And this has been the contention since. This is what is offering many of us without us realizing that this is what is on offer. It's still the same. Satan has not changed since the day he fell. It's still the same Satan. How many of you don't want to be glorified? To be held in honor? When you are passing, people will be prostrating for you. Sir?
They are legitimate
desires. But how you go about pursuing it is the issue.
Yes.
I ask people, that when I see a man in glory, I want to ask him, where is your cross? Because Paul said, I have the mark. I have paid the price. I want to ask, what's the price you paid? When a man cannot tell you the story, you say, it is God, it is God. You know that somewhere, in the secret of his room, he has gone to pay homage. He has paid homage. He has taken a bow and he has gone. And he's gathered in the glories of the nations. Do you understand me? And I tell you, look, all this Bill Gates there, it is not science.
No.
All this Aliko Dangote, it is not that he knows business. This is not done. Look, the way this world is structured, you don't come to prominence with Sabide. Koche connection. You get to a level that the powers of this world will come and meet you and say, young man, young woman, you have potential. We will help you. But you must enter covenant. It's a choice people make. Baba Adesina told us, when Baba Adesina was promoting this Akure, many of you did not know. In the early 90s, it was Baba Adesina was there. We were just coming up, but he was a gatekeeper. If I did not validate you, you are not validated. That was how it was. It was prominent. It was on radio. It was on television. Everywhere was shaking. So one day, five prominent rich men came to him. This man was one of them, DPC. He's late now. Five of them, from very powerful rich guys, came to him and said, we like the way you are doing. We thank God for your life. We want to support your ministry. And they gave him a check, one huge money, that when you see, you give glory to God. Baba just took it, and they said, maybe God told him, don't cash it. And he just kept it. 1 week passed, 2 weeks passed, 3 weeks passed, 4 weeks passed. Then one of them came and said, the check we gave you, we noticed you've not cashed it. Said I shouldn't cash it. He said, God save you. Maybe I'll cash that money. That's the end. You would have sold your soul. And gave them back their check. Of course, you didn't have money again to continue the program. That's when we went back to where he started from. I don't know whether you understand what I'm trying to say. Yes, look, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. That's what Paul said. But if you say that desires to be rich, they will open door for you. It will be faced with diverse temptations. You will face it. They will use local law to lure you. Amen. That's what Jesus said. The glories. You want the glory, you want the kingdoms and their glory. I will give you. All I just need, and I swear, I won't tell anybody. And there are many people, they don't tell you. They just say, oh, but they don't know what. How can you make somebody rich and say he cannot help his family members? Or his friends? You know there's something there inside that wealth. He's not told you last on wealth. Amen. He will know his friends are poor, they are in need, but he can't help them. Not that he doesn't want to, but the covenant does not allow him to. He can't share, but he can give girlfriend. He can give people who have coronavirus in America, he can give them.
But you that are here, he won't help you.
Kill did there. So this is the kind of being we are dealing with. This is how he went about doing his own. So when he told Jesus, Jesus said, no. Get behind me, Satan. The conclusion or the only way by Jesus will get these things is for him to go to the cross. So you now understand when we meet Jesus in Revelation, they said he is worthy because he had paid the price to get it. So anybody that will follow him must follow him understanding what kind of conflict that he's going into. So if you have the ambition of laying hold upon how did Paul put it? Who desire glory and honor, Abby? And immortality. If that's your ambition, then this is the only way you can go. You can't go any other way. Otherwise, Satan will give you a substitute. And all of us will face it. That's one thing that you and I must understand. Satan will offer us at a point in our life. He will offer. The bad thing is that he does not have a no-go area. No, he doesn't have a no-go area. He's allowed to use anything lawfully and unlawfully to fight us. You need to watch wrestling now. Pastor likes wrestling. I even like wrestling. In wrestling, you don't follow rules. Shemo. You don't follow rules. Your friend can come and pull the leg of the referee. You know, and why the referee is doing that, they are beating you there. I tell you, there's no issue. The guy will now win. The referee now come and count. He has a bottle. They did Ojoro. No, in wrestling, it's permitted. Ojoro is permitted.
All kind of wiles.
So we are dealing with a person of wiles.
He is all kinds of wiles. He is looking for your weakness to exploit. He will play mind games with you. He will use circumstances against you. He will use the weather against you. He will use everything possible against you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the Bible says the only way we can fight him is taking on what? The armor. Yes, he used to control the world. Yes, he could marshal the forces of creation against anybody. But once he fell and the keys of hell and death was taken from him, he resorted to wiles. But you can still see him marshal those forces. When you see Tornado, Hurricane Sanders, he's a prince, he's a demon. He's not a wind, he's a prince. Praise God. And those princes, oh man, born. And I feel sorry for America. They are assuming that it's ordinary natural phenomenon. But I've heard the testimony of a particular hurricane that hit the Philippines or so. And that thing was wreaking havoc. And those believers stood, held their hands, and began to rebuke it. They stood and rebuked. As it was coming towards them, they did not move. They stood together and said, We say no, we rebuke you. Turn back. And that thing came close to them and took a 90 degree turn and faced another direction. Who says those things don't hear? They are demons, falling beings. Praise God. And if you don't understand how these things work, they will just play. So basically, he doesn't have those rights to use those things, but he can still use it. Yeah, you will know, you don't know. Like I said, it's permitted to use anything against us. So the way we will stand against him is taking the whole armor. Praise God.
Amen.
And interesting, you find out that everything that is in the armor is still the word of God. Everything is still the word of God. That's the beginning and the end. So you should begin to appreciate the fact that Bible says he honors his word than his name. We don't pay attention to his word. People are more interested in the warning, let's say bigger, the warning. Those things don't move Satan one bit. You can know all the names of God and still will not help you. Hallelujah. What will help you in the day of war is your knowledge of the word, your understanding. Amen.
Yeah.
I promise that, I think I should begin to close up now. Praise God. And so, say, take on that whole armor.
So we can do what? We can stand. Hallelujah. He talked about principalities. Let me just finish with principalities. Now, we have a problem. Some people believed, again, for example, believed that it started from down up. Are you getting that? Principalities are the people at the bottom. The rulers of darkness are the people at the top. Some other author says that principalities are the first in rank. I don't know if she understands. Do you understand it? There is no agreed
hierarchical
structure. There is an hierarchical. She gets me, shall get it. A structure is hierarchy. But who is at the peak, the head? We know that Satan is the head of the hierarchy. He is on the peak. Who follows him thereafter? We know not. Whether it's the rulers of the darkness or the principalities and the powers. We don't know. But we shall know that they are all wicked. She understand? They are all wicked. So research is still ongoing. She gets research is still ongoing. But basically, that's it. But according to Higgins, he believes that the spiritual wickedness in high places are the main guys. Remember in the hierarchy of the angelic, we know about archangels, we know about cherubims. Between archangels and cherubims, we don't really know which higher, but I think that cherubims are quite high. Praise God. I don't know. My research has not gotten that far. But I believe that I think the archangels were taken among the cherubims. That's still my level of my revelation. Maybe if you have more revelation, we will listen. Amen. So, because I know one thing, that cherubims are associated with the path of knowledge. They are associated with paths. How do I know that? Remember in Genesis, when he drove Adam and Eve out of the garden, he put cherubims to guard the way into that garden. They are custodians of ways. And if you look at Lucifer, he also is a man of ways. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks about that. Can we go to Ephesians 2? Look at what Paul has to say about him. Verse 1, and you are the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to what? The course of the world. Somebody designed the course of this world. They designed it. It is not something that happened accidentally. It's a design. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of what? Disobedience. Among whom also we all of us had our what? Our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Somebody designed the course. Somebody helped. Somebody made sure that we are walking on that path. So there's a prince that designed a course. They are all custodians of paths and pathways. Praise God. And I remember Egan was saying that in the warfare, said Jesus told him that we should concern ourselves with the demons in this realm. Said we should leave those cherubims. Some certain cherubims fell with Lucifer. Some certain powerful spirits fell with him. Now these ones don't possess people. They don't possess people. You can't see them in this earth realm. They don't come to this earth realm. But it's from that heavenly, that is where the control was going on here. And they control every activity of evil spirits here. They don't come here. So Jesus Christ told again, leave those ones. Hi, you contend with them. How we deal with them? The time appointed. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But I'll still make it clear as I go on. So when he was saying that these are principalities, that word was taken from a Greek word, which I don't know. Praise God. They are not junior spirits. They are mighty foes. They are mighty beings. It's like when you divide, we have local government. We have local government. We have Futa area. Is it not surprising that somehow there's this designation, Futa area, then Apatakwiti. Where again do we have here? It was cassava. Different things like that. It will shock you that there are different spirits that control all those areas. They control it by principles. They are masters of principles. They are principalities. They are in charge of different locations. And you find out that in those certain places, there are characteristics of people that live there. Somehow you find their characteristics. If you are in sociology, you will know what I'm talking about. We are not alike. Why is that? Some people feel that Egba people are different from Jebu people. Are they not all human beings? They are human beings, but somehow you see that distinctiveness that is there. Where is something? Where is it from? He's Igbo. Oh, Igbo. Why are you talking about? Because there are principles that govern them, and those principles are kept. Custode. Is that a word like that? It's a spiritual word that I conjured. Within a person who makes sure that they are like that, they are shaped like that. And even within the Igbo tribe, you still break it further down. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? These are works of fallen spirits. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You find them everywhere. So you are contending with them. You are contending with culture. Some of these are in charge of cultures. Some of these are in charge of belief systems. They are in charge of religion. They are in charge of business. All the things, spirits are controlling them. He spoke about powers. Praise God. Okay. Who are powers? Hallelujah.
Amen.
God we. Okay. I want to try and finish, but I don't know whether I will finish this thing today. Okay, don't let me try and finish. Let me just not. So, okay, Greek word. Harkai. Beginning, origin. The person or thing that commences, the first person or thing in a series, the leader, that by which anything begins to be, the origin, the active cause. That is the translation of principalities. So maybe Paul started speaking about this hierarchy from the top and went down. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. Now, when he spoke about powers, exousia, these are authority and influences. These are governments, command structure. I don't know what kind of beings these are, but you see, Paul spoke. I believe Paul did not really finish speaking about all these spirits. But this kind of spirits, what's their job? These are people that have competence, mastery. That's how they are structured. I don't know what kind of prince you call that one. I would have to do my research in that area. But let me just continue. Next week I will talk about all this in details. Then you have the rulers of the darkness of this world. Then you have spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at Ephesians 1. Let's take from verse 20, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and sat him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above what? Principality. And what? Power. And what? Might. That means there are angelic beings that are called might. There are angelic beings that are called dominion. There are angelic beings that are called every name that is named. not only in this world, but that which is to come. So there are different hierarchies, different structures, different types. There are just many. Praise God. But let me, praise God, just give me more 5 minutes and I will close by God's grace. Amen. But let me throw this at us. You remember, like I said, when the apostles, the disciples went out to preach and they said, devils obeyed us. Demons obey us. Now, the demon that they were casting out, you know, was even from the demon that possessed that young boy. Shego, that boy, that his father, the father came to Jesus and said, Master, your disciples could not cast out the demon. Because the boy had a spirit of, epilepsy. That every time when he seizes him, cast him into the fire. And your disciples could not cast out. These were the same disciples that went out to go and cast out devils, laying hands on the sick, and Jesus Christ saw Satan fall. Like, so why could they not cast out? That means there are different kinds of demons. And Jesus Christ said, because of your unbelief. Praise God. I want to believe that the reason why they could not cast out that demon, my own theory, is that when they did not see Jesus, they lost confidence. How many of you always wish, I wish Pastor was here, I wish I was here, God, I wish I was here. Do you understand? You just lose, I don't know whether you have found yourself there, I wish the president was here. Because there's somehow, you have more confidence in somebody else than yourself. So they lost confidence. When they say, come out, the guy didn't answer. The guy from Assault landed. I said, come out, the guy didn't answer. They began to look at each other. I wish Jesus was here. And like that, for 3 days, that deliverance continued. No, sorry. See, how many days in Transfiguration? So to 1 day. How many days were they away?
One night.
You're not going to like to lose confidence. When did you see Jesus? It was already 7 o'clock, 7 a.m., 8 a.m. Jesus did not come. And then people were saying, you see, you call yourself a disciple of Jesus. You cannot cast out devils. You see what I was making noise. You advertise that you can cast out devils. Look at this small boy. You can't. So when Jesus arrived, the man ran and said, your disciples could not cast him out. He looked at them and said, what kind of generation is this? How long will I be with you? He said, go and bring the boy. And the minute the spirit saw Jesus, he began to demonstrate. And one thing I noticed about deliverance, you don't talk to devils. Many of us are in the habit of talking to devils. What is your name? My name is Mr. Wolf. Mr. Wolf. So, where did you come from? I've been to many places. They have time. What is time for rubbish? They can wear you out for it. They have time. I know that Jesus did not have time to be talking too much. Once he gets the information in this, nurses cast him out. So when Jesus delivered that child, disciples went to him and said, why could we not cast him out? He said, because of your unbelief. Please, what did they do that was unbelieving? Did they not speak to that spirit? Did they not command it? I think that their unbelief was, like I said, was attributed to a lack of faith and confidence. That they could not do it. They were probably just waiting for Jesus to come around. Or maybe what they saw was not like others that they've seen before. But Jesus Christ put a caveat. Said, how be this kind does not go out but by fasting and prayer. That means you must come prepared for battle. So there are different kinds. And there are different manifestations. And you must be conversant with those things. You must be conversant. That you were able to cast out the spirit of people. That boy, for example, not only did he have the spirit of epilepsy, he also had the spirit of death that followed him. It was not one spirit that was operating. At least there were two of them. He gave him the boy that nature of being a lunatic, not being able to gather himself together, but there was always that desire to kill him. So you see that spirit operating there. They say when you see a madman get on the road express and is walking on the streets, on the middle of the road, say that those spirits are already fed up of him. They want to kill him. But naturally, you will not find a madman walk on the middle of the road. I don't know if you have noticed. But the day he begins to walk on the middle of the road, those spirits want him dead. Hallelujah. So you must be conversant. The way Mami Wata spirits manifest is not the same way spirit of necromancy operates. It's different from the spirit of divination. Most of what you see among prayer ministries is the spirit of divination, with a little of necromancy. They call it word of knowledge, but it's not word of knowledge, it's necromancy. And God will help us to understand this. When we go further, God will help us in Jesus' name. I want to stop at this point. And do we have questions before we pray? This is supposed to be this diocese. This is diocese. Any questions, any experience you want to share? Has anybody had experience with demons before?
I want to put this thing in picture because this message today has made me to understand certain warfare that I went through. And I was not aware that I was fighting in the battle, I was in the war. Of course, it's a story that you know about. The brother-in-law gave me a contract of almost about 32 million. And I was to get some galvanized pipe. In fact,
yeah.
This thing was just mirrored to me when you were. I never thought about it, that this is warfare. So, this galvanized pipe, about 5,000 of them, and I was to get it in Lagos State. We negotiated, and they asked me to make payment. And, of course, what they asked me to pay was relatively low, less than 4 million. And I started looking for money here and there, and I paid the 4 million. But unfortunately, at the verge of the time when I was to carry this galvanized pipe to, what was the name of that, your brother-in-law?
Emma.
A friend of mine, who happened to be my cousin, who was a commissioner in Osun State, just said he should not give it to me. And I said, why? He said, they didn't know too. But an instruction has come that we shouldn't give it to you. Let's go and meet him. So I met with him. I said, he said, did you tell me you come to this territory to come? And I said, it's our territory. He said, no, it's not your territory because you are not prepared to pay the price. And I said, pink. I was talking to
you. You initiated.
He used that word. He said, I told you a language. I have seen that you are an illiterate, that you have not paid the price. He said, go back. You can't get a dime here until you are prepared to pay the price. And I started thinking about what price I needed to pay about it. Fortunately, I spoke to my senior sister. I said, this is what we is doing. People in the other compound, please let me call you. Talk to this guy. Let him give me my governor's card. And the man who happened to be the valet of our compound, he called me and said, yes, you have not paid the price. That he paid the price before he goes to where
he got to,
and you were there, and you knew about it. That you can't have this breakthrough until you are about to pay the price. And I asked the man, I said, okay, what is the price? He said, the price is simple. First and foremost, it will save you. It will save your dad, your entire family, that just make a sacrifice, a little sacrifice. And I was, wow, how can I, what kind of sacrifice? I spoke with a few people, they said, what does it cost? Make this thing and
go.
And go. And be good. That it doesn't, maybe tomorrow you still go back to church. I was not praying about it. I was not thinking about anything. But I made up my mind that I'm not going to carry any
ebo
to do anything. And I left. Of course, I was heavily in debt. It wrecked my life. I was completely wrecked. It was so difficult for me to have money to live, to eat, and so on and so forth. And I just let the night pass there. I did not pay the price. I did not do anything. But somehow, so this thing happened in 2005 to 2007. For 2 years, I was on it. But sometimes, when I came to Akure, and I went to the prayer meeting, and I met a young lady. We were together, and I said, come. Wumi, what happened? Why did Billy die like that? The boy eventually died. I said, why did Billy die like that? He said, he did not service the covenant. I said, how? He said, he did not service the covenant. That. Do you remember? Meanwhile, there was a time when this lady took us to a man in Akoko. We must be careful. Those of us who desire well. I just want to warn you. It doesn't last. You'll be getting, but you will die in the process. You will lose a lot of things. I think the anchor of our life is Christ, and I thank God that I held on unto Him. I thank God, though I paid price of suffering, I paid price of lack, I paid price of humiliation, alienated from friends and colleagues who would have grown together. So this was this young lady that took us there, and we all sat down.
And I cooked in the carrier there.
In the carrier, the guy said, "Oh no, you can't get what you wanted, but we give you a commissioner." I said, "This man is an idiot, old man. You don't have eyes. How can you say you give somebody a commissioner? You are in the you give somebody a commissioner in
Osun.
Who can walk there?" The man just laughed. He said, "What you are asking for is not there again, but there is a vacant. If you want it now, we can give you." I don't understand that.
You are not learned.
I can't comprehend it. I can't relate with it. The man, my friend now said, "Okay, what is the cost?" He said, "No, tell us you want.
What you want?
Once you tell us that you are interested," he said, "Okay, I am interested." He said, "You are interested." They asked him 3 times, and the guy repeatedly answered them, "I am interested," 3 times. They said, "Okay, you have it." He said, "So, therefore," he said, the guy now said, "But you have not told me the price." He said, "No, the oracle have taken the price, don't worry, you will see the price. And the guy was insisted that, "Please tell me, I want to say, as somebody that is close to you,
we'll go."
He said, I now ask him, I said, "I'm very close to this boy." Relating with me every day, that if you had compromised by taking your governor, that you would have been a substitute. See, listen. See, what will we eat? I understand Matthew 6, verse 26. Is it verse 26? Your father in heaven knows what you need. I now recognize it. I didn't put this thing together in this perspective before. Well, it's not just making sense to me when he was talking about this warfare, how you enter into it. You don't know you are fighting. But the unfortunate thing for me is that I did not deem it fit to kneel down and pray, even on the governor's side. God, I was just thinking that it's my right. That I'm supposed to get this thing. But please, those of you that are very young, you will go out. Many of you have gone out now. You are compromised because of money. Yours may not be in the occult realm. Yours may be in another realm of compromise. But I assure you, you pay the price. There's no way you will escape it. You will pay the price. Just stick to this. It might take a longer time. Shepherd may not be who you are now. It's gone. By the grace of God, the wife disturbed me almost every month for what?
The wind.
This is God, he's not there. Again, I will sleep with this boy in the room when he was the commissioner. Sleep, we will eat till.
I went together, I went out like that.
Then he cannot give me a dime. He will never give me a cup for a sissy. What he will do is that take me to where I will eat and laugh. Then you don't. Somebody has paid the price. They will make demand on you to come and pay this price in search of wealth, in search of faith, in search of position, in search of. Even it has to do with health. It might be your health. Your health may be attacked. It may come in any form. God will help us in Jesus'
name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any testimony? Okay, you have a question.
You said even in a case where we are to cast out the demon, we are not to speak to the demon, like ask him questions and all this. So I want a relationship, a cordiality between this man of Gadarene. Jesus spoke to him that the demon should leave him. And very right. Then later on now has
his
about
name.
His name. So what's the
correlation? The correlation, the answer is what he just said. He said, he should come out. The guy came and said, now what's your name? Because you need to know the kind of spirit you are dealing with. See, you understand? Now, maybe Jesus felt it was only a spirit. I don't know. But when he did not yield, Jesus knew that something was not right. So he asked him, what did I say? We are a legion. So there were many. And normally when you have a legion like that, or you have plenty like that, there's always one controlling spirit that brought them in. If you don't cast out that one that brought them in, none of the others will go. So you must locate which one. Remember Jesus Christ said that when a spirit is cast out, the house is clean. If you don't occupy the house, so that spirit will go. Look for several more wicked spirits. Will bring them in. Now, when you want to now recast them out, you have to look for that guy that brought them in. None of those seven will leave. Except the guy that brought them in is dealt with. So it's an issue of technicality. So for asking his name, he made them expose themselves. Yes, that's why he comes by. But what I'm saying is that you don't go into conversation. You now carry my name is Ola Tunde. Mutim recarnate. Your recarnation. The guy will lie from beginning to the end. And that's what I found out when we were doing deliverance in those days. We were fascinated with stories. We sit and say, hey, should we do multiple cast and say, ah, only go new. And we tell ourselves big stories. And of course, the thing and it was all lie. Everybody, I mean, not supposed to, they don't say it again. I think they've caught their lies. People always say, I'm the second Calabash to Satan. Why is it everybody the second Calabash to Satan? Everybody is second Calabash. He has scammed them. What good can come out from Satan? Moba Jesu was saying, one of those who asked Lucifer the truth. He said they should swear by him that sits upon the throne that he won't tell a lie. Because he knew him. Nobody lied, nobody paroled. You can't help himself. So when he made him swear, he was bound to tell the truth. He said, actually, that person you used to call his name, we don't use that name. We call him the righteous one. We call it, say, who is he? He said, he was the one who created them. And he began to tell the story of how they fell. But said, but that now it's not going to end like that. We're going to win, finally. I know. We can't lose. So he believed him. I was helping him until Jesus captured him and converted him. Satan still believes it. Satan. I don't know what God created and became Lucifer. I don't know. The guy still believes. He's working assiduously.
Even when you enter a church, I have been there several times.
Okay.
You see the traces of demonic
things.
In his church.
That means he has not been totally delivered.
You still see those traces, you see those manifestations of that this man is not
totally delivered.
Not completely delivered.
We don't hear about him again.
Mm.
It's sad. So you cannot, there's a lot to learn. But one thing I just say is that one, you must be grounded in the word. That's one. Two, you must trust the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You must trust the Holy Spirit. For me, I learned by experience that when I want to enter warfare like that or cast out the devil, I want to ask the Holy Spirit, how do I proceed? So, because if you just go, enter battle, say, I've been casting out the devil, yeah, okay, I did look, Satan will mess you up. And one reason why I want you to be so that any of us can do it deliverance. I don't want anybody to be saying, this is my major. Sure, you understand. I wish everybody can do it so that it will not stress somebody. I realize that when you start doing deliverance, doing service, Satan will keep sending people to you. So instead of people hearing the word and praying and growing, is deliverance that you do. So people just sit down and be watching to come and they will keep you busy and wear you out. Jesus said something to Andy Brown. He said, if you are going to be doing deliverance, then you must know how to replenish your protein level. And I found that could be what caused late Dr. Benjamin to die young. Because he just slumped and died. Nobody knows. So, I was Timon Lopa. When Archbishop Gausa died, they said it was synagogue that killed him. Everybody ran for synagogue. One reporter went to meet a prominent bishop in Nigeria. I said, what do you have to say about synagogue? He said, I plead the blood of Jesus. My blood. bros. Are you with me? So, second, don't be afraid of them. But be cautious, be careful. Listen to the Holy Spirit. There are certain conflicts the Holy Ghost say, walk away. You have nothing to prove to anybody. You don't get yourself involved. But if he says engage. And God will keep us in Jesus' name. We'll continue next time. God will help us in the name of Jesus.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.